Testimonial Question, Robert C. Newman. Brief Abstract, a sketch of the three major views, pre-mill, post-mill, all-mill, and the arguments pro and con. Millennial Question, what is the millennium? What are the alternative views? What do the arguments look like? That's the sort of big topics we'll be discussing here in this talk. What is the millennium? The term comes from Revelation 20. Millennium is Latin for 1,000 years. Several things are to happen in this period of 1,000 years. Satan will be bound in the abyss, Revelation 20, verses 2 and 3. Certain believers will come to life and rule with Christ, verses 4 through 6. At the end, Satan will be released and lead a rebellion of the nations, verses 7 through 10. What are the alternative views? The alternative views disagree on the timing of the millennium relative to the return of Christ and on the nature of the millennium. Premillennial view, the term comes from before the millennium and refers to the coming of Christ before the millennium. Postmillennial view means after the millennium and refers to the coming of Christ being after the millennium. And amillennial view, although it literally means no millennium, actually means no earthly millennium. Well, here's a chart to show you what it looks like. I will give you a little timeline of church history with the crucifixion of Jesus on the left, the second coming on the right, and the church age in the middle. Nearly all Christians, except extreme preterists, believe that Jesus will come again in the future, and that the time between his comings is primarily the church age, in which we have a responsibility to take the gospel to all the nations. The church age is the millennium. The saints, this is the amillennial view now. The church age is the millennium. The saints are ruling from heaven, and Satan is only bound to such an extent that the gospel is going out to all the nations. So that would correspond to putting a kind of a big ellipse there across the church age. And then we put amillennial view up at the top. Church age is the millennium. The saints are ruling from heaven, and Satan is only bound to such an extent that the gospel is going out to all the nations, that he's not able to prevent the gospel from going to the nations. Postmillennial view, same chart. The millennium is not the whole church age, but only the latter part. The gospel will spread to all nations, and when this is complete, there'll be a time of great peace and prosperity. So we draw this pair of diverging lines to show the, what should we say, the spreading of the gospel, and then the ellipse to show the millennium. And that's the millennium in the postmillennial view. So the millennium is not the whole church age, only the latter part. The gospel will spread to all the nations, and when this is complete, there'll be a time of great peace and prosperity. Premillennial view, we need to squish the timeline a little bit, because the millennium follows the church age. So here we are. The millennium follows the church age. It is set up by Christ when he comes and defeats his enemies and puts Satan in the abyss. The saints then rule with Jesus on earth for 1,000 years. So we put our ellipse over there after the second coming. And that is the millennium. Millennium follows the church age. It is set up by Christ when he comes and defeats his enemies and puts Satan into the abyss. The saints then rule with Jesus for 1,000 years. What do the arguments look like? Well, let's see. Just a sketch. Premillennial arguments. Premillennial arguments is that the premillennial view is a natural reading of Revelation 20 in context. We have Jesus coming in Revelation 19 and is destroying the enemies, and the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, and then the angel comes down and releases and binds Satan and throws him into the abyss. And then the millennium takes place, etc. In other words, you're saying basically that Revelation 20 not only physically follows Revelation 19, but it chronologically follows Revelation 19. Mm-hmm. The premill arguments also take come to life, they came to life in the beginning of Revelation 20, and resurrection literally here, that this is a physical coming to life and a physical resurrection of the believers who have died before this point. The primo view treats the promises of the land and the kingdom to Israel and the patriarchs seriously as real promises that will be physically fulfilled. Amill arguments. The major Amill argument against primo position revolves around the question of sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. In the primill scheme, it's typical that one understands that the temple is rebuilt and that sacrifices are resumed during the millennium. And the Amill argument is, are sacrifices really going to be reinstituted? What about the argument in Hebrews, which sounds very much like sacrifice has been superseded for all time by Jesus' death? A number of Amills look at the primill scheme as earthly and Jewish, and the Amill approach as heavenly and Christian. As at least one interpreter, J. Adams, has pointed out, the primill scheme reduplicates the revolt at Christ's coming so as to have another revolt at the end of the millennium. And he claims that this is an example of diplopia, of seeing two images where, in fact, there's only one. Obviously, one of the problems in eschatology in general and questions about interpreting passages on the end of the age is how to put together all of these scattered passages in different places, and whether you identify two similar-looking descriptions or treat them as two different events. This is not something that's just characteristic of eschatology, but the same kind of problem arises in thinking through harmonization of the synoptic gospels on Jesus' ministry. Are the pigs running down the hill in Luke and Mark the same as the pigs running down the hill event in Matthew, even though Luke and Mark have only one demoniac and Matthew appears to have two, etc.? So that's basically the kind of thing we're getting, a rather generic problem in harmonization. Postmillennial arguments. Postmillennialists will typically use arguments that look like the Amill arguments against the premillennial position. But then, against both the premill and Amill, the postmills argue, is the church age really going to be a defeat rather than a victory? Looking at the idea in both Amill and premill schemes, that things go downhill rather badly at the end of the in the events coming up to the second coming. Is the church age really going to be a defeat rather than a victory? Doesn't Christ promise victory? And then, don't the premill and all-mill schemes discourage effort, since God is going to bring in the kingdom without our help? Well, that's a very quick tour, a sketch of the arguments for each of these three positions. I personally think the premill arguments are stronger, but we should point out the debate does not involve central doctrines of Christianity. God is going to do what he's going to do, whether we agree with him or not. It's obviously, I suppose, desirous if possible to agree with him. And so God will do whatever he wants, whatever our schemes may look like. There are, however, some hermeneutical or interpretive issues here regarding Old Testament prophecy. And that's one of the reasons why I think the premillennial position is stronger, that the premillennial position takes these Old Testament prophecies about Israel inheriting the land and such in a more straightforward way than the Amill and postmill views do. Well, that's the end of our talk here. The end will come when and how God brings it. Our concern is to be faithful.